Our Bible study tonight is out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 9 through 13, heeding Christ's warnings about personal spiritual dangers under persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 in the English Standard Version predicts that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's interesting, in our adult Sunday school class this morning, we talked about facing difficult and troublesome people, and here we're dealing with the same issue here, so who knows? Maybe there's application, maybe someone's going to need this week. However, there are significant personal spiritual dangers that come with such persecution, and Jesus clarified these dangers, giving instruction as to how to handle them in Mark 13, 9-13. So we view the passage for our insight. I'll read the verses and then we'll look at them. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, that would be the Sanhedrin, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall say or speak, neither do you premeditate. Don't plan ahead, but whatsoever shall be given you in that moment, that will you speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Okay, that's quite a passage of Scripture, so we'll look at it. After warning about deceptions to occur both in the current church era as well as in the future Great Tribulation period, we've covered this last time, you'll remember, in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 13, 3-8. This passage deals with events that are going to occur both in the tribulation period as well as in the church age. There's a dovetailing, there's a matching of these. So Jesus warned his disciples to beware. Blepo is actually the word to see, or to see to themselves. Huto is a reflexive personal pronoun. So, in other words, be on your guard. You never think of this as a person under persecution. You would think a person is under persecution, he's watching himself, he's suffering for Christ, he's trusting the Lord. But there's a tremendous series of dangers when we get persecuted. Satan can use it. He can hit us so hard up the side of the head, he can trip us up. And that's the danger we've got to watch out for. Well, believers would be persecuted both in the church era and in the Great Tribulation, what Jesus described in Mark 13, 9-13. 13, yes. And with that description, he warned of wrongful retaliation under persecution. See, that's a big temptation, to retaliate the wrong way. Now, we thus view Christ's warnings on personal spiritual dangers under persecution. First, believers will face various forms and degrees of persecution for the cause of Christ. Believers will face opposition and trials in and from religious institutions, as well as physical persecution and civil opposition and trials at the hands of civil authorities. It's interesting, the persecution that Jesus first mentions is the persecution from the synagogues. This is where the people at that time met for worship. And then on the outside, reaching out, then from the civil authorities. But the persecution starts often within the religious circles. That's tragic, but it's true. Now, in facing such persecutions, God would use believers to expose incriminating evidence against persecutors to make them face their need to believe in Christ, to repent of error. You notice in verse 9, the last part, you should be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. You would think, you know, persecution against them? Yeah. If I turn over to John's Gospel, John chapter 15, Jesus explains this a little more fully in John chapter 15, 18-22. Jesus said in this passage, John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world as to its system, the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of or away from the world, therefore the world hates you. See, you're different from the world. You don't go along with the world. You're not part of the world's system. You're not part of its ideology, its way of thinking. Remember the word that I said unto you, verse 20, the slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours as well. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not have sin. In other words, their sin would be exposed to sin. But now they have no shield or cloak for their sin. See, that's the thing. When the believer exposes sin, that creates a tension. Because when people see their sin, they either have to repent or they refuse to repent. If they refuse to repent, then they have to make themselves feel good. So in order to make themselves feel good, they persecute the person who has exposed their sin. That's the problem. Unfortunately, not everybody repents when their sin is exposed. Some people just get testy about it and angry, and so they have to retaliate, and that's why they're coming back. That's why they're persecuting. But God says, I want you to go ahead and face the persecution because I want to expose their sin, because that's the only way they're eventually going to come to know the gospel. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was the one at whose feet they laid the clothes of Stephen. The people laid their own clothes when they were laying aside their outer garments to stone Stephen to death, and Paul was a witness to his death. Well, Paul was all in favor of Stephen's death, but later on his conscience pricked him. Remember when Christ knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus? Jesus said, your conscience, you know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The harder you kick, the more you hurt your feet. So Paul was beginning to be bothered by then. Well, it's interesting, all of the speeches of Paul in the book of Acts follow the speech of Stephen before the Sanhedrin. So Stephen had an enormous impact on Paul. You wouldn't have known it at the time. You know, Stephen would have thought he was his worst enemy. But Stephen had a tremendous impact on Paul, and Paul wrote half the books of the New Testament. So Stephen has an interest in half the books of the New Testament because he was instrumental in Paul's salvation. But at the time, it didn't seem that way. At the time, it looked like it was a losing cause. So the gospel has to spread. So in facing such persecutions, God will use believers to expose incriminating evidence against persecutors to make them face their need to believe in Christ or to repent of error. Indeed, the gospel must spread to all nations, much under the persecution of believers, Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be published among all the nations. It's interesting, when the gospel was left in Ethiopia, in central Ethiopia, before World War II, there were 35 believers. Under World War II, the missionaries, the Western missionaries, had to leave because the Italians came in and occupied Ethiopia. And they found out that these were people who had been converted to Protestantism, so they tried to persecute them. And they persecuted them terribly. But at the end of World War II, instead of 35 people, there were 2,000 who were believers in Christ. The church just multiplied like crazy during this great time. And the only, believe it or not, the only gospel, they had only one book of the Bible translated into the language. Guess what? It was the Gospel of Mark. And so this gospel was of enormous value to those people at that time. So it's amazing what God can do under persecution. Now, second, believers will need to avoid the lure to plan ahead how they are to answer their persecutors, but rely on the Holy Spirit under persecution for what to say and what to do to avoid spiritual defeat. In verse 11, if a believer knows he will face persecution, he's tempted to pre-plan how to handle it. Now, that's understandable, because you say, okay, I'm going to be persecuted. I want to soften hatred of people towards me, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be real polite, and I'll, you know. That's the worst thing in the world to do, because God may not want that. God may want you to be very confrontational. You never know. So you have to be very careful not to plan ahead. Satan's involved in this as well. It's futile to plan ahead, because those who oppose the godly are taken captive by Satan to do his will. How do I know that? There's a passage that we alluded to this morning in our adult Sunday school class. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 24 through 26, Paul wrote that the servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient when wronged, in meekness instructing those who contradict them, if perhaps God will give them repentance unto acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, when someone opposes, though, a person who's ministering the truth and contradicts him, that person actually has been taken captive by Satan to do Satan's will. So if a person is persecuting a Christian for his faith, he's been taken captive by Satan. The person doesn't know it. He would never acknowledge it, never think of it that way. But that's what's happening. So if you're going to try and plan ahead what you're going to do, what you're going to say under persecution, guess what? Satan can probably read your mind. He's got a file on you and me this thick. He knows our personalities backwards and forwards. He's going to trip us up. So the point is, you don't plan ahead. Satan is far more powerful, far more intelligent than the believer in his mortality. So one must instead be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and equipping. This is why Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of power, spiritual wickedness, and heavenly places," and so forth. "Therefore, take on the armor of God, that you may resist the wiles of the evil." And that's where you take the shield of faith, you arm yourself with the word of God, which is the only offensive weapon you have, the sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation, and so forth. These are all the positional truths that we have in Jesus Christ. Accordingly, when the believer faces persecution, he must not pre-plan what he should say or do, but rely on the Holy Spirit to show him what to say and then do under fire of persecution. For only God knows what he should be said and done to counter Satan, who controls the persecutors. See, God reads Satan's mind. And so if Satan is moving to get a persecutor to do something or to say something, then God reads Satan's mind. See, so then he gives the believer the words to say, the believer counters it, and the persecutors don't know what to do. They're taken completely off guard because it's God who's battling. If we try to take them on in our intellect, look out, we're going to lose the battle. So rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, significantly, 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26 direct believers who face opposition not to argue or retaliate. This is a passage that we just read. But gently, patiently explain the facts to the persecutors, relying on God to deal with Satan's forces involved. There's a reason for that. If you get all testy and you get all hot under the collar, what happens? The evil one will make it look like you're losing your temper, you're a hothead, and so the argument is going to shift to the fact that you're a hothead, and what you're saying gets lost. So that's why it's extremely important for the believer to be calm under persecution, be cool, collected, and gently respond so that the person or persons involved are forced to have to deal with what you say, not how you're saying it. They have no argument with how you're saying because you're being gentle, you're being kind. So make sure that, and you're patient when wrong. Sometimes they'll try to say things to really get under your skin. They'll call you names. You know, you gotta be careful, don't react to that. Just go ahead and gently give the truth. Very, very important. Third, believers need to know that persecution may involve close and many people, as Satan tries to isolate them relationally so as to destroy the inner man. But this is to be countered by a life of faith. Believers will see even close people like family members go so far as to betray them to death. We haven't lived in a situation like that, but there are people who have. I know some people who live in Muslim territories, when they have accepted Christ as their Savior, they're actually killed by their family members because they're viewed as traitors. And that's a very painful thing to have to face. But sometimes, though, even in spiritual realms, people who are close to you will turn on you in persecution. Believers will be hated of all men for Christ. So the opposition may come from many parties. You may be in a situation sometime where the majority is turned against you. You may have 30, 40 people, and it's you on the other side. And the temptation is to think, wow, if 30 people think otherwise, and I think this way, maybe I'm wrong. See, and that's easy to get tripped up. You got to be very careful to make sure you know what God's word says and you're siding with God's word, because one with God is actually the majority. Most people, I think, in America think that the Bible is somewhat corrupt or somewhat mythological. Very, very few. It's the minority, even of Christians, who believe as we do that the Bible is God's inspired, authoritative word. It is without error. So you have to remember, the minority opinion is not always the wrong opinion. Sometimes it is in the correct opinion. However, those who endure to the end will be delivered by God. Now, we need to explain this. In the coming great tribulation, enduring to the end involves living by faith in God's deliverance, so as to remain faithful to the Lord until death, for his reward, either in death or at Christ's second coming. We know this, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you that God will avenge the upright speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? He's talking about the second coming. So at the second coming of Christ, those who are still alive, the question is, are they still going to be trusting the Lord or not? However, applied to the church, since believers in the church era will face either death or the rapture, or an end to a given round of persecution while they're living, those are the only three options that get us out of persecution. God's call that they endure to the end means they are to live by faith in heeding God's word for blessing until however God decrees that the persecution event must end. The Lord may say, you have to be persecuted this way until the rapture. He may say, you have to be persecuted this way until you die. Or he may say, I'm going to end the persecution sometime in the future, before the rapture and before you die. But either way, we have to go until the end. And how do we do it? We endure, and we endure by faith. We live by faith and heeding God's word for blessing until however God decrees that the persecution event must end. So believers who desire to live godly lives will face various forms and degrees of persecution in religious and civil realms, much for God's plan to incriminate their persecutors and to spread his truth. The lure for the persecuted to pre-plan how to handle persecution must be resisted by relying on the Holy Spirit in order that Satan, who is fueling the persecutors, can be defeated. You see, if we try to pre-plan, we're going to get tripped up because Satan can read our minds and he'll just counter the pre-planning with his own plan. So don't pre-plan. Then even if close ties or many people persecute the believer, he must handle it by trusting God as revealed in his word until God decides to terminate the persecution event. So may we follow Jesus' admonitions above to avoid personal spiritual defeat under godless persecution. I was in a church many years ago, another church situation, and I made a recommendation that needed to be made in order for a number of churches in the area to get more Bible teaching pastors. And the very recommendation that I made became the cause for pressure being placed upon me to resign and leave the church. And so I did. I didn't want to split the church or anything. And I remember, after having experienced that, thinking, I must have done something wrong. There must have been a better way to go about this. And I kind of whipped myself over that situation for a number of years. Come to find out, there was a legal situation that the group of churches that involved got involved with, and a bank took action against the churches, and the only way for the churches to solve the problem was to do what I had recommended. So the Lord saw fit to it for it to be recommended. And little did I know that what I had recommended was exactly what God wanted, but they weren't ready for it at the time. So the Lord allowed the situation to get into a legal situation where the bank went after some churches, and all of a sudden they changed it. It opened the door, and there were a bunch of Bible-teaching pastors that were able to get into that fellowship of churches. I wish I had known of this passage and applied it with greater significance. I could have avoided a lot of needless pain because I was actually in the right and didn't know it. So we need to be very careful that we really pay attention to what God's Word says, and that we don't judge ourselves rightly or wrongly based upon our own judgment. We have to be very careful to judge ourselves based upon what God wants us to do. We need to follow the Lord, plan, and just because you end up in a situation where you're in the minority and there are lots of people against you, don't worry about it. If you're right, you hold to it. And the Lord will exonerate you in the end. He'll make you come through, and he'll make you win. But we need to follow Jesus' admonitions in this passage of Scripture, and I wish I had done it that way 30-some years ago, to avoid personal spiritual defeat under godless persecution.